Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action Episode 17. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And follow us on Twitter at Side Action Pod. Let's start off with the watch party. We had a big watch party on Sunday at Fat Poor in Wicker Park. We had a few people out there watching the Bears-Packers. It was a good time.
Yeah, we got there. Unfortunately, the bartenders and servers said that we could only watch the Bears and Packers game,
That's right.
To my dismay. But thankfully, I was able to jump on Wi-Fi and pull up Red Zone on my cell phone.
Yeah, we were watching on your mini screen, which they had every other screen. Actually, did they put up the Giants-Titans game for some reason?
Right.
They wouldn't put up your Colts for you, but it's a good time. I mean, we had that monster Bloody Mary that had like a fried grilled cheese sandwich on it. That was something.
Yeah, straight out of Wisconsin.
That's right.
For the Packers.
That's right. And but didn't help the Packers that day. So I'm excited about that. Let's go over your scenario. We had the Mahar pool, which I won, actually. We went head-to-head last night a little bit. But let's talk about your hedge exposure that you were discussing
before. So you and I were texting yesterday. I was all day racking my brain. I'm in these two separate pools, and in both of them I was in position to win last night.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL ATS pool, I needed Carolina to cover plus 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
And the tiebreaker between you and I was the total.
Right.
And it had to go over 49 for me to scoop the pot. So I needed Carolina and over 49.
Right.
And then in my other pool, I needed New Orleans to win the game outright. It's a confidence pool. And mm-hmm. the total to go under 52. So I was kind of mind fucked. Couldn't figure out which way to go. And ultimately, I realized that the two pools were kind of hedges against each other.
Right.
Nearly the same value. So I just kind of let it ride and did put out a teaser in the end with the Panthers and the under. So cashed that. And won the confidence pool.
Okay.
And you won too. We're all big winners.
We're all winners. The Side Action Pod is winners. Yeah, I was excited to win. Gets me in the in the profit zone with the Mahar pool. So that was exciting. So that helps. And we just had a good time over the weekend. So.
And how about your personal bets?
Not so good, man. The NFL, it failed me. I was red hot. Started 3-0 in general because I had the Fresno Bulldogs won mm-hmm. me money. I had the Chargers. They won me money. And then I also had Houston early in the week, Houston Cougars basketball. They beat LSU. So I was feeling great going to the weekend. I was like, oh, I'm 3-0. I'm going to go 6-0 this week. I'm so good in the NFL. And all those games went the wrong way. I mean, the head-to-head worked out okay with you. But my other bets, I somehow was on the Giants mistakenly. They sucked. And I refrained from betting the Vikings, which knew was going to come in. And even told other people that was the lock and didn't do it myself. But they came in, but then I also lost on both the Rams game and then the Saints game last night.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was all favorites.
Well, I pushed around a little bit of money on Saturday. I lost a lot of college football bets Saturday, but thankfully college basketball was big for me, so mm-hmm. was about even Saturday. And then Sunday had another huge day. Aside from the pool win, a bunch of great straight bets that came in for me. So
attaboy.
2 weeks in a row, two more to go. Let's keep it rolling.
I know. I got two more weeks of this, so. All right, let's go over the overall outline of the pod here. We'll go over, we do have some big legislative updates we wanted to go over, including some handles and action in other states, which is exciting. We'll recap our head-to-head from last week, which was a good one. We'll jump into the NFL Week 15 takeaways. Then we'll talk about, we actually have a couple mailbag questions this week, so thank you, listeners. We'll go over a couple of spots we're eyeing for bowl bets for this particular week, and then we'll jump back into the NFL talking about our metrics and then injuries and what we're eyeing for this week in the NFL in Week 16. We also were going to go over the Super Bowl odds. There's some interesting odds in. We'll talk a little bit about playoff scenarios with that. There's a lot of things that can happen. Finally, we'll go over the college hoops, and we'll talk about our various metrics and then, of course, our picks for this week. There's a lot of big games coming up. I love that in college basketball. They keep bringing us good games. Finally, we'll do our head-to-head. Any other questions?
No, the holiday sports calendar comes fast and furious, much like this podcast will. So let's get right into it.
All right. Let's jump into these legislative updates. First things first, I read that the NBA is now official as they call it, gaming partners with FanDuel. I read this in Forbes, and basically this is saying that they're going to basically give the data directly to FanDuel so they can help their live betting platform. And also they believe this could pave the way for international play, because if there's, you know, FanDuel users abroad, they can use it, or in the, of course, the states that are going to authorize gaming. So that's kind of a big move.
Yeah, a lot of these leagues are partnering with some of the operators, and I was reading too that a lot of the leagues are trying to push for the gaming operators to use authorized league data or official league data. Really, that's just so that they can get their tentacles into them and take some of the cut. But so far, of the 8 states that have legalized sports gambling, not a single one of them has written that into their laws.
Right.
So they're not requiring any of the gaming operators to use this authorized data. So at this point, it hasn't really come to fruition like the leagues want it to.
And it will eventually. But yeah, they get real-time information, so that's interesting. And then on a state-by-state level, I was kind of looking at some stuff. One of the things was New Jersey, which was, you know, the first in. They've already hit $1 billion in wagers in 5.5 months. And FanDuel and DraftKings are actually 2/3 of that market, I guess, from what I understand, both online or if they have in-person sports books. That's just an incredible number. It's 21% growth from November over October's growth.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
$1 billion in 5 months. Crazy.
Mississippi has wagered over $116 million since August when they began. They're estimating their tax revenue that's up 5.5% from casinos since July. And, you know, one of the things, of course, is that from the sports betting and the books in Mississippi, there's a lot of big Saints fans. So they often bet the Saints in Mississippi.
So they are probably up quite a bit of money in October, but have given some back in the past couple of weeks.
That's right.
Much like you.
Me too, right? In Pennsylvania, it looks like that there was a $3.2 million profit in November, which is 11% increase. And that generated taxes of $486,000 for the state of Pennsylvania, because they're taking a 15% cut of those profits. And that's insane. In terms of the betting, I also heard on VSiN that of the bets that they took on that Rams-Eagles game, 90% were on the Eagles. So they were big winners in Pennsylvania.
The players were big winners, right?
That's right. That's right.
The state gave some back, or the operators, rather, gave some back on Sunday, it looks like.
That's right. In West Virginia, DraftKings is now partnering with the Hollywood Casino, and they will offer a sports betting app soon. So as we were talking about, they haven't done it yet, but they're partnering now, and they're going to push ahead to get a betting app in West Virginia. I also read that could pave the way for Pennsylvania, since Hollywood Casino is also in Pennsylvania. And the last bit of news you came up with, right?
Yeah, the District of Columbia just voted today, Tuesday. The city council voted to legalize sports gambling in our nation's capital.
That's awesome.
And now the mayor just needs to sign off, and then apparently there's congressional approval that is required too. And the bill states that the District of Columbia Lottery will be the authority that runs sports gambling for the district, controlling the mobile app which the bets will be placed through.
Interesting. Well, that's great. I mean, District of Columbia is actually kind of a lawless land anyway. So
yeah, it's true.
Great. That's some awesome updates. Let's jump into the recap of the head-to-head. First of all, we started off with the Chargers at Kansas City. We were actually betting the total because we were both on the Chargers in this game, and they did end up winning the game. To be honest with you, I was looking pretty good, although, you know, it's kind of conflicting needs. You know, I was looking at the Chargers, you know, they were coming back, but that 3.5, I wanted them to cover my personal bet, but then the head-to-head, if they got that touchdown, was going to push the over. And that's actually what ended up happening. It was one of the best games we've seen all year, where they scored and also went for two to take the win 29-28.
Yeah, it was a great game and an epic comeback by the Chargers. I had gone to bed and was just watching here, kind of half falling asleep. And I woke up to see Justin Jackson get into the end zone late. And then the Mike Williams touchdown and the wide open 2-point conversion was just a wild finish.
Yeah, it was an awesome game. That's definitely a lot of ramifications. Kansas City still in first place in the division because of the division record, but obviously they go to Seattle this week. Tough game, and the Chargers play the Ravens. So one slip by the Chiefs, and the Chargers keep winning. They can actually grab the one seed. So, aha, the Bears. You doubted the Bears in the index. Green Bay went to the Bears. The Bears were 6-point favorites at home. I stuck to my guns here, even though it doesn't make sense to go against Rodgers with that many points against him. and they came through. Bears actually looked really good early, slowed down late, and then made a big interception late. And I don't know what to say. The Packers had an injury with Aaron Jones, but the offense wasn't quite the same, and the Bears were able to hold up, and they won 24-17.
Yeah, I think we both kind of expected the Bears' pass rush would get to Aaron Rodgers a little bit, and mm-hmm. they certainly did. It really was kind of back and forth, though, as we yep. were watching, and I think you were probably sweating it at the end, looking for Aaron Rodgers to get in the back door there.
I was.
But unfortunately for me, Eddie Jackson picked him off and ended that NFL record streak without an interception.
Yep.
And then the Bears clinched the victory and ended up winning by 7, covering the 6.
And won their first NFC North division crown since 2010, so that's awesome. The next game we reviewed was the Gonzaga at North Carolina. This was a big marquee matchup in the top 10 in NCAA basketball. I was on Carolina getting 3.5 at home. So what happened in that game, Action?
You know, to be honest, I saw a little bit of the first half, but I was off on my way to a concert Saturday night to see mm-hmm. Greta Van Fleet, and mm-hmm. I missed the whole second half. I have no idea.
Probably for the best.
I know that North Carolina ended up winning the game 103-90. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading, it looked like that North Carolina was just running and gunning, as we both kind of talked about.
Right.
I know that we mentioned the over. And they finished with a 42-21 rebounding advantage, which
Doubled
I thought
up.
Was pretty impressive, too.
And that's big in the Action Index.
Yep, certainly is. That's why North Carolina is ranked number 2 in the Action Index.
That's right. The other game actually that happened, I think, prior to that night, we were talking about it. Butler was playing Indiana in the Crossroads Classic. Indiana was a 1-point favorite. I took Butler in that one. And, of course, your Indiana Hoosiers made a big shot at the buzzer to win the game outright, 71-68.
Yeah, this one I did watch. I was firmly planted in the recliner. And I got to tell you, Butler was winning the entire game. Mm. I thought for sure you had it in the bag until the last 5 minutes. Juwan Morgan just turned it on, finished with a game high and career high, 35 points. And then it came down to the very end. I was on the under, mm-hmm. 140,
cool.
68-68 with about 10 seconds left. It looks like they're going to overtime for sure.
Yep.
Devontae Green gets stopped in the corner, and his last option was Rob Phinisee, who just rolled around a screen and put up a almost double clutch three-pointer from 25 feet and swished at the buzzer.
And
it was awesome.
You got it, 139. You made it.
Yeah, you under 139, and I beat you.
Wow, that's a big shot for you. It sounds like a great game, so. All right, well, let's transition to our takeaways from Week 15 in the NFL. The side action didn't do as great because I was picking losers this week at 3-3. I only went 1-3 myself, so. There's four teams vying for two spots in the AFC playoff picture. We've got Pittsburgh at 8-5-1. They got a big win against New England at home. And then Baltimore's at 8-6, looking for the division title, the AFC North. And then you've got two AFC South teams, the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans, that are just a stone's throw away. They're both 8-6. They both have a way to make it. It's going to be an exciting finish here in the AFC.
Yeah, next 2 weeks in these AFC games, a lot of these teams are playing each other, too, mm-hmm. the Colts and the Titans in Week 17. And then you've got the Ravens and the Chargers this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic finish. Can't wait to watch.
Yeah, your Colts definitely came through in the clutch. They followed your handicap to a T. They kind of destroyed Dallas, actually. They shut them down. And Andrew Luck threw for under 200 yards, but Marlon Mack got it done on the ground, 139 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, career high rushing for Marlon Mack, and that Colts defense, 4th-ranked rushing, I think mm-hmm. I remember. Mm-hmm. They shut down Zeke, and Dak Prescott just couldn't do much through the air. They blanked him, 23-0.
It's a way to get it done. They needed that win. It was a big win. Now they get to play the Giants that are going to limp into Indianapolis. We'll see how that goes. Another big game was Baker Mayfield and the Browns. They basically put Coach Vance Johnson out out on the firing line because I think he's going to be fired now. They beat Denver in Denver 17-16. I guess there was a crucial mistake by Joseph late in the game.
Yeah.
No shock there.
They were down 4 and kicked a field goal, yeah. I read.
I don't understand what he was doing. Everybody's like, fire him now, and I think we thought that he might have been fired Sunday morning, but
mm-hmm. didn't happen. I'm sure it will happen soon enough.
Yeah, he's terrible. Another game was the Texans on Saturday. They went to the Jets, and it was a hard-fought game. The Jets were up all game, but then Houston came right back and scored 2 late touchdowns to win and cover.
Yeah. Great game by the Houston Texans again. Lamar Miller didn't do much, but I know that Deshaun Watson had a good game, and DeAndre Hopkins was just a man among boys on Saturday night.
Yeah, they're in the current two seed in the AFC now with the loss by the Patriots at the Steelers, so they control their own destiny. Could get that first round bye, which is critical. I did read that Lamar Miller's a little banged up, and actually Hopkins is too, so check the reports for that, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think Hopkins has been on the injury report every week this season, so I expect he'll play.
Yeah. And then, yeah, this inexplicable game, the Rams. I thought the Rams would smash Philly, especially with Nick Foles under center for the Eagles. And they came out and really just played like shit. It was like 30-13 at one point. They were getting lit up. Alshon Jeffrey had like 160 yards receiving. They were just doing whatever they wanted against this defense. And more importantly, they bottled up Gurley again, 48 yards rushing.
Yeah, Gurley just doesn't look 100% right now, and Jared Goff looks broken too. Mm-hmm. He had another few interceptions on Sunday, although I read this morning one got overturned and became a fumble, so I don't know how that changes the stats. But regardless, that Rams offense is just broken right now, and McVay looks like he's kind of perplexed on the sidelines too. I initially thought they were just holding back against the Bears because they were saving it for the playoffs, but it's clear to me that they need to get something right over the next 2 weeks.
They've been talking a lot on VSiN this week. Is Cooper Kupp the actual MVP of the league? Because they haven't quite been the same with him out of the lineup. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of things working that could get right against Arizona this week. But
that'll certainly help.
They got to keep winning because the Bears are on their tail. Because as we mentioned, the Bears beat the Pack and cover the spread. And they can jump into the two seed if they just even up, if the Rams have one more slip up.
The Bears do have to go to San Fran this weekend, though.
I know. We'll talk about that later. All right, let's look at the mailbag. We have a couple interesting questions from our listeners. Thank you. What does the term plus money mean?
So plus money means usually when you're talking about betting on a money line, when there's an underdog, you're going to get plus money or more money than you bet. So the odds are usually against you and that you get paid out more than the money that you put in, meaning that the team you're betting on is favored to lose the game, or and more likely they're going to lose it more than 50% of the time.
Right.
So plus money would mean that there's a little plus sign in front of the number, and whatever you bet, you multiply by those odds and get a much higher payout than you would if you were to bet on a favorite, for example.
Right. On a normal straight bet, it's usually going to be like minus 110, right, or minus 120 or something. So every now and then on a straight bet, it could be plus 105. That technically be plus money, but you don't see it very often.
That's true. That's a good point. If there was a VIG that was shaded severely to the other side, you could get plus 105. But usually for money line, I try to target teams that are in plus 150, plus 170 range. Mm-hmm. The Niners on Sunday were plus 180 against the Seahawks.
You may have won a head-to-head bet against me in cash that time.
A bar bet. That's between right. Wegs in action.
Plus 180, right?
So on the other side, you could take a minus money bet, means you're betting on a heavy favorite to win a money line bet if you just pick a team to win the game instead of laying the points.
Exactly. So sort of related, the second question, when a big bettor puts a bet on a line and then the line moves immediately in the other direction, why is that happening?
Well, usually the books will do that because it's their goal to try and get the money equal on either side of a game. And they want to do that because that essentially guarantees they're going to win. Because if you remember, in terms of spread bets, there's going to be a minus 110 VIG on both sides of that bet. So if they get $100,000 on the Eagles, let's say, to cover the spread on Sunday, and then they get $100,000 on the Rams to cover the other side of that spread on Sunday, and the money is about equal, then they're going to take that 10% from one side. So they're guaranteeing that they're going to get a profit.
Right. Right. So they want to make sure that they don't take a liability and they have this big bet on the one side. If it goes that way, then they're going to lose. They want to make sure they cover themselves.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is they move that line to make the other side a little bit more enticing for others to come in and bet on the other side and then hopefully have money on equal sides.
And that's probably why, to the first question, why you see plus money, they're trying to entice you to make that bet, right? So they're trying to kind of push liability somewhere else so that way they kind of make up for what is likely to happen.
Yeah, very good point. The money lines work the same way where they, now there's a lot more math that goes into it to figure out the payouts and minus and plus money. So
interesting. All right, good questions. Keep them coming. All right, now we're going to talk about our College Bowl picks this week as we roll through this podcast. We've got a couple spots, Ryan, this week. So midweek action is back. What do you mean, action?
Well, tonight you got the Northern Illinois Huskies That's playing right. against UAB.
Yep.
And obviously Blazers. We didn't get any plays in for that game. But tomorrow there is another midweek action game where Ohio and San Diego State will be playing.
Ooh, all right.
I like San Diego State plus the 3 points, mm-hmm. and I also like the under in this game, under 54. The S&P Plus has San Diego State as a 1 point better on a neutral field, and they're getting 3 points in this game. Hmm. They have one of the best defenses in the nation, ranked 25th in S&P Plus, and they're 9th ranked in rushing defense. Where Ohio's offense tends to excel, they've been averaging 48 points over the last 5 games. Mm-hmm. However, that's been against inferior MAC opponents in
right.
Akron, Buffalo, Miami, Western Michigan, and Ball State. Yeah, doesn't really scare
all
you.
Mac, all action.
This San Diego State team is going to be a step up in class for them, and I don't think that they'll be able to move the ball. They are very explosive on offense, and San Diego State is good at defending explosive plays. So I'll be looking to take San Diego State, and I like them to dominate defensively and keep this game under 54.
And so what you're saying is that you're basically getting 4 points of value, right? Because they should be favored by 1 point, but you're getting plus three, so that's
yep.
4 points.
Exactly right.
Sounds like a good angle. Any other games that you're looking at this week?
Yeah, my next favorite bet of the week is going to be Army, mm-hmm. -3.5, as I was typing this morning. And about midday, there was some steam that came in on Army, and it's up to 5
Ooh.
As of this moment.
Ouch.
But I still like Army at -5. This game's going to be played Saturday in Frisco, Texas. And as you may know, Army runs the triple option offense,
yep.
and they're going up against Houston's 100th ranked S&P Plus defense, which allows 5.74 yards per play.
Right.
If you do the math there, Army only has to run 2 to get a first down. So they don't even need downs 3 and 4, which they're pretty prolific at too. And I think that they're going to run all over Houston, including Ed Oliver. The Houston defensive tackle is going to sit this game out in order to prep for the NFL draft. And
yep.
without him, I like Army's offense to run the ball even more in this game. On top of that, Houston's going to be without their leader and junior quarterback, Derek King, who suffered a knee injury in the second to last game.
Right.
And now they're to backup quarterback Clayton Tune, who only throws the ball 44.7 completion percentage and only has 37 rushing yards on 22 carries. So everything's pointed to Army in this game, and I like them to cover this number. Also like it to go under 60 because they're going to dominate time of possession with mm-hmm. their ground and pound game.
And Army's an under machine anyway, so that's a good bet.
Absolutely.
So even if it gets up to 5, you don't like that, take the under for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. How about you? Do you have any picks here?
Yeah, the only game I really like in this segment before we talk next week is the Memphis game. Memphis is playing Wake Forest. They're 3.5-point favorites right now. The total is 73. Memphis is a better squad than Wake Forest. I mean, on my little comparison, I mean, they're 54 slots better in the S&P Plus. I just think that Memphis is getting kind of the small conference treatment right here.
Mm-hmm.
And Wake Forest is coming from the ACC, which I think is actually really down this year. I don't think they're very strong at all, besides maybe Syracuse, NC State, and Clemson. So we'll see. I mean, I guess Miami's pretty good too, but Wake is not that great of a team. They're not going to be able to stop that offense of Memphis. So I really like Memphis in this game.
I agree. I think that Memphis is definitely the side here. I would also probably lean towards the over myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extremely high total, 73 points. But as we know, this Memphis team has been putting up major numbers all year long.
Right.
The running back, Darrell Henderson, is just running over opponents. So 1,900 yards this year and 19 touchdowns. And then Wake Forest has been able to put up a lot of points as well. So.
All right, I'm glad you're on my side. I've been doing so great in college, but I want to win some money back. So
yeah,
you also like this Marshall game, Marshall, South Florida?
Yeah, also very interested in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa on Thursday.
Who wouldn't be?
Marshall is favored by 3 against South Florida. And although this is going to be played at Raymond James Stadium, where South Florida plays their home games, it was interesting to find out that USF was only 1-5 against the spread at home this year.
Wow.
So not exactly a great home field advantage. And they come into this game losing 5 straight after starting the season 7-0. Obviously not on a win streak.
Trending in the wrong direction.
And conversely, Marshall coach Doc Holliday has won all five of his bowl games in his time at Marshall. Mm-hmm. So lots of trends that point to them. And then beyond that, on the field, the S&P plus margin has this closer to 3.5 points yep. instead of the current 2.5. Mm-hmm. I'll also add that Marshall owns a very stout defense, 13th ranked in S&P plus, and I expect that they'll be able to stop a pretty pedestrian South Florida offense and cover this number.
I agree. S&P, they're just plus 23. This is, you know, they're a better team. So hopefully they'll redeem that Virginia Tech loss that I was surprised at the end of the season.
Yeah, they were clearly a little flat in that game. And I will add the running back for Marshall did sit out that game with a knee injury. So okay. something to monitor. I do expect he'll play on Thursday night, but definitely going to be checking before game time.
All right. Last one, we've got Purdue getting 3.5 points versus Auburn. This is your alma mater. Looks yeah. like you like Purdue in this one.
Yeah, definitely lost a point of value here. As you know, it opened at 4.5, and I was okay. able to jump in on that. But I do still like it at 3.5. Purdue got a major boost when Coach Brohm decided that he was going to stick around and forego the Louisville offer.
Right.
And I think that the Boilers are just going to be amped to get up and play for this guy. Brohm is a superior motivator. And this is going to be a huge game for recruiting. If they can go out and show that they can hang with SEC schools mm-hmm. and beat SEC schools,
sure.
it'll go a long way towards his recruitment. On the other side, Gus Malzahn is in the exact opposite situation. There's a lot of cloud that hangs over him right now, and I think we can both agree that he's on his way out.
Yeah, he's going to be out.
So there's going to be a clear disadvantage for the Auburn Tigers' motivation here. And on top of that, Purdue has one of the most explosive offenses in the country, led mm-hmm. by David Blau and the freshman wide receiver Rondale Moore. They rank 10th in explosiveness, and Auburn is 105th in defending explosiveness. So I look for Purdue to put up a lot of points, and I just don't think that Stidham and the Auburn offense can hang with them.
I like that. I like that. And plus, you'll get a win for the alma mater and the Big Ten. Might be a rough road otherwise.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking at the money line in this one, too.
Okay. Good call. All right. Just to review some of the bigger matchups that'll come up next week, there has been a steam move for Clemson. You want to talk through that?
Yeah, so the line opened at 11.5, and I think it was Friday morning I saw it pop up on my app, a few hits on Clemson, and it got mm-hmm. pushed all the way out to minus 13, mm-hmm. where it sits right now. Don't really know if I have any explanation behind it other right. than just some of the pros obviously wanting to get down on Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Clemson in that game. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit more next week on our big bowl bonanza, or whatever we'll call it.
I like that term.
Bowl bonanza Friday next week. But Clemson, I think, is the team that could actually possibly beat Bama. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to come out and just dominate Notre Dame. But as that number goes up, it's going to be scary. Notre Dame can play some defense. So we'll see. I mean, the experts know something, I guess.
Yeah. And then the other game, just a couple of quick points to note out. I read that Tua did get into practice on Friday.
He did.
So it looks like that injury is coming back a little bit. And then also Hollywood Brown for Oklahoma, according to head coach Lincoln Riley, it looks like that he's going to be ready to play in the semifinal as well.
With a name like Hollywood, I mean, you got to play in the big game, right?
Yeah, he's one of their best receivers, so they certainly can use him against that Alabama team.
Absolutely. They need everybody they can get. All right, let's jump into our NFL Week 16. Let's review our statistics. The net yards per play is back, everybody. I know you were missing it for a couple weeks. Looks like we have a new number one team. That's the Chargers at 1.2. Pittsburgh at 0.9, KC at 0.9, the Bears at 0.6, and Minnesota and Baltimore at 0.5. A little curious?
Yeah, Minnesota oddly jumped up there even after that extremely poor performance at Seattle the other week.
Right. The bottom five teams are Arizona minus 1. Ooh, that's horrible. Oakland minus 0.8, Washington, Miami, the Jets, and Cincinnati at minus 0.7. No surprise there.
Yeah, all terrible teams.
For the WEGS Index, you'll be happy to know the Bears and Saints are still tied at the top with the Chargers at 3 and Texans at 4. The Ravens, Rams are tied at 5 with another new team. He's not wearing the shirt today, everybody, but it's the Colts. The Colts are tied for 5 in the WEGS Index.
Wow. It's sad to say that one of these two teams are going to be shut out of the playoffs. I don't think there's any way for the Colts and Ravens to make it.
There is a way if the Ravens win the division.
Okay, right.
But it's we'll see. There's a lot of scenarios, but yeah, they should both be in there. They're both good teams. Okay, and then you wanted to talk about this crazy line move. Yeah, so right now as Packers and Jets are playing at New York this week, the Packers obviously lost against the Bears. Their season's over. They opened up as a 3.5-point favorite on the road, but now we're not sure if Aaron Rodgers is going to play. There's a lot of mixed reports. So how's that affecting the line action?
Yeah, yesterday it moved from that Packers open 3.5-point favorite all the way to the other side, and the Jets got as high as -1.5 yesterday. Hmm. And I think it settled back in today closer to a pick 'em, but was reading that this line move is just indication to everyone across the sports betting markets that Aaron Rodgers may sit with that groin injury.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a groin injury, and of course he had the knee before, so it doesn't make sense for him to play, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, fantasy owners or whoever's out there, they want him to play, and obviously bettors need to know. So
yeah, it could be the Deshaun Kaiser show on Sunday in New York.
Oh, God, who wants that? So in other notable injuries, it looks like Gurley got injured in that game against the Eagles. So check his status. He came in the game and scored and everything late, but he's not right, as we talked about.
Yep.
Odell Beckham sat out again against Tennessee. That didn't help the Giants' causes. And we'll see if he's going to play against the Colts this weekend.
I certainly hope not.
The Panthers, I've read or heard that they're talking about potentially shutting down Cam. Now, Rivera has not said anything about it, but he looked like garbage the other night. Mm-hmm. Or last night, his throwing motion is weird. He's bouncing the ball everywhere. So I'd kind of be shocked if he played, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there was that one play of the last drive where it looked like he was going to load up and throw it like 30 yards down the field, and he just bounced it right into the short receiver's feet. It's clear that his shoulder is not right at all.
Yeah. As we mentioned, Aaron Jones for the Packers is also likely out for the Jets game, so that doesn't help the Packers' cause there as well. Keenan Allen for the Chargers left the game with a hip pointer against Kansas City. Hopefully he's practicing. We'll see. Eckler, he's still not practicing, but hopefully Melvin Gordon will return for the Chargers.
Yeah, that Chargers team has injuries just across the board, and they have a huge game against Baltimore this weekend, so it'll be very good to monitor the status of all those guys.
And the last note is your Nick Foles will be starting for the Eagles again this week. So
Foles magic.
Foling. All right, well, let's look at the situational spots this week. You know, obviously a lot of the stuff, as you mentioned, is motivation these last 2 weeks for playoffs and so on. What spots are you eyeing this week, actually?
Well, the first one that jumped out at me was the aforementioned Baltimore Ravens mm-hmm. going on the road to the LA Chargers. Right now, the line is +4.5, and I personally jumped on it Sunday afternoon, mostly because of this Baltimore rushing attack. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about it a few weeks in a row. They're now averaging 214 yards on the ground over the last three games, which is a historic pace. And I know that it's been against some of the league's worst run defenses, mm-hmm. but the Chargers are only 18th ranked in Football Outsiders rush defense, and they allow 4.1 yards per rush over the last three games.
Right.
4.1 yards per play is going to let Baltimore move the ball down the field at will. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the ball, I think this Ravens pass defense, obviously one of the best units in the league, and they are only second in pass defense in DVOA. So I think that they're going to be able to have some success against Phillip Rivers and that passing offense. Keenan Allen being out would be huge, and then they can focus on Mike Williams. And I honestly don't know where the Chargers are going to find offense outside of that.
Yeah, I think that the key here in this game is if Melvin Gordon returns, because mm-hmm. he's not just a threat in the running game, he's a threat in the passing game. Baltimore's style is to keep the ball away from their opponents. They've been doing it for weeks now with Lamar Jackson in there. They should have probably beat the Chiefs. Otherwise, it would have been 5-0 with him. I don't know. It's just, it's the Chargers' year, so it's hard for me to go either way. I'm personally going to stay away from this spot. I do think the lean is Baltimore with all these points, but, I mean, the Chargers need to keep pace with the Chiefs. You know, they've got to win this game. So we'll see. It should be a great ball game to watch, and that's on Sunday, right?
No, this one's Saturday night.
This is Saturday night, okay.
Yeah, I'm also going to be looking at the under in this game, too. Okay. Kind of similar handicap. Just looking at this Baltimore offense, their game plan is to run the ball mm-hmm. all game. Yep. So that lends itself to a running clock and another under again.
I agree. The next game, we're actually going to save for the head-to-head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how about the Seattle-Kansas City game, which is very relevant to the Chargers action because that's obviously determining the AFC West. Seattle's a 2.5-point dog at home. And so what are you looking at there?
Yeah, I think you and I traded some notes on this one, and we're both on the same page mm-hmm. where we like the Seattle Seahawks at home on Sunday night. The Chiefs are dead last in rush defense, DVOA, mm-hmm. and they're going to be facing the Seahawks rushing offense, which is 52% of its plays on the ground, which is good for first in the league. Over the last three games, Seattle is netting 5.2 yards per rush attempt, mm-hmm. and I think that they're going to be able to control the clock in this game and keep Patrick Mahomes and that prolific Chiefs offense off the field. Add into that, I mean, just my eyes tell me the last few weeks that they're really missing Kareem Hunt.
They are.
And it's unfortunate. Spencer Ware then went down with an mm-hmm. injury. And although Damian Williams looked good last week, mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to continue to have success as they have throughout the season without their weapons.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we were both on this side with Seattle. Seattle's been one of the teams I identified a few weeks ago starting to play better, and now they had the slip up at San Francisco kind of inexplicably, mainly because Pudge Janikowski didn't want to tackle the guy on the kickoff return. But beyond that, this team's running the ball. Chris Carson's dominating it. Russell Wilson's making touchdown passes. He's not getting the credit, but he's an MVP candidate too. He's had a great season. So I do like Seattle in this game, especially with that crowd. Kansas City is going to have to They're going to have to get some stops against Seattle. If they can't stop that running game, it's going to be a long day. And maybe Mahomes can pull it out again, but I think on the road it might be a different story.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are definitely going to have motivation along with the Chargers on Saturday. And both teams are going to be looking to win. But I just think that Seattle at home, they have one of the best home field advantages too on Sunday Night Football. They may win this game, and I like them on the money line also.
All right. So I guess we'll save the rest for head-to-head. I think we're going pretty much across the board. So let's talk about the Super Bowl odds at this time. You've put up the odds from Bovada. And New Orleans right now is the Super Bowl favorite at plus 260. The Rams at plus 425. Kansas City at plus 550. And New England at plus 700. Now, I don't even know why New England's so high. I guess that's just a public favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams that I think we should discuss are the next grouping. The Chargers at plus 750. The Bears at plus 800. You've got Houston at plus 1,800. They could be the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh at plus 1,800. And some of the teams we just discussed. Baltimore plus 2,700. Dallas at plus 2,700. Your squad, Indy at plus 3,300. Seattle plus 3,800, and then some of the other ones, Philly plus 4,000, Minnesota plus 4,500, and Tennessee plus 6,000. What do you like out of that group?
Well, it's ironic because I'm looking to fade Houston down the stretch here, but they jump out at me right away. As you mentioned, they're likely going to end up with the two seed in the AFC.
Right.
And to get them at 18-1, only needing two games to get to the Super Bowl, I think that there's some clear value there.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has been playing exceptionally well.
And
Deshaun Watson is the type of quarterback who's capable of carrying a team into the Super Bowl.
It is. They have basically skill at each level on offense. You know, they have a great receiver. They have a good running back and a good quarterback. The defense is maybe not elite, but they have elite pass rushers. They're definitely in the mix. I was talking before the pod. I mean, it might be a little crazy, but I think Seattle at plus 3,800 is really a good pick just because who's going to go down to New Orleans and beat that team? And I think you mm-hmm. need to have a quarterback. We talked about last week, the NFC doesn't have elite quarterbacks at the top besides Breeze. You've got Goff, who's been suspect the last couple weeks. Trubisky is admittedly pretty questionable. You've also got Dak Prescott. I mean, he's not going to scare anybody. So after that, you're talking about this guy. So I really like that as just a long shot at 3,800. I mean, that's some value.
Yeah. The other team on this list that I really would like to talk about is the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
60-1 right now. If you look at 538, the predictive website, they actually think that Tennessee has a 46% chance of sneaking into the playoffs.
Right.
They play Washington this weekend and then have Indianapolis at home. And if that team gets into the playoffs, Derrick Henry is running like a man possessed right now. And we know that he carried them to a win over Kansas City last year in the playoffs. And he's certainly capable along with Marcus Mariota, of carrying this team to some wins. Mm-hmm. Their defense is pretty good too, and we know that Mike Vrabel has some pedigree in winning football games.
They had a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season, but they've won three straight now. They do look better. And obviously they found something in Henry. I don't know what – he didn't do anything all season until the last 2 weeks, and now he's run for like 450 yards. I mean, the guy's a machine. But, yeah, it's definitely value. It's interesting they have a better chance to make the playoffs in Indy, which I think Indy's a better team, and they have a shorter Super Bowl odds, so that's kind of weird. But I don't know. I don't trust Mariota personally. I think I'd take Luck and 3,300 over, and obviously 34%. But I think Indy's going to probably sneak into the playoffs over them. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you and I had talked about, the point we want to get across here is there may be some value with some of these long shots. The last couple of weeks, we've seen these teams at the top struggle, including the LA Rams and even New Orleans. You know, they lost at Dallas, and then they barely covered that game against Tampa Bay, and then looked pedestrian again last night at Carolina.
Yeah, they only scored 12 points last night. I mean, it's just kind of that point of the season where I think there's just too many injuries stacking up, and there's kind of a little bit of a lull, you know, kind of a malaise. So we'll see if it changes with a little time off, but there's definitely some value to be had. Let's transition to the hoops discussion. It looks like the side action went crazy in college hoops last week at 7-0.
7-0 is a pretty awesome record. I think that's 1,000%.
That's the last time I checked. I was told there was no math. So let's just go over quickly. You've got a little prop on Nevada, who basically has gone through the toughest part of their schedule, if they can get through an undefeated regular season.
Yeah, this one popped up on my news feed the other day, and I just thought it was interesting to note that Caesars posted a prop late last week on Nevada going undefeated through the rest of the season. The yes is plus 650, and if you want to bet the no, it's minus 1,000. So $1,000 to win 100. Would you lay it?
I'm not going to do it, but I might do the yes.
Yeah?
I mean, they don't have a tough schedule unless there's injuries. I mean, the Mountain West isn't that tough of a conference, and they're almost there, so we'll see.
There may be some value there. I might dig into the schedule. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be in Nevada between now and then to place the bet.
Question. Regular season, that doesn't include the conference tournament, right?
I believe so. You may have to check the fine print on that, but I think that's right. That would be postseason.
Okay. Let's go over quickly a couple of teams that I'm thinking are too overrated per KenPom versus the AP versus underrated. It's going to be similar to last week, but a few extra teams. Buffalo is one of the teams. They have a big game against Syracuse as we tape tonight, so we'll see if they can survive. I think they're overrated. Iowa as well. Marquette. Houston, although they're undefeated and they got the win for me against LSU. Arizona State, which I think the poll came out before their loss on Monday. They kind of got hammered last night. Mm-hmm. And Furman, the Paladins, sorry. But they have a big game at LSU. Maybe they can show me something. The underrated teams are Nova. I mean, they went to Kansas and almost won. Purdue, man, that record's not looking good, but the metrics are okay. Iowa State, Florida's record's terrible, but their metrics are great. NC State, they're going to get a good test this week, and Kansas State. So why don't you go over your action index?
Well, I definitely agree with you on NC State. I'm not sure I agree with you on the Purdue Boilermakers. My eyes tell me that they're just a bad team right now, and I think they're rated well.
Okay, good to know.
The action index is a little bit unchanged from last week. Duke is still the clear number one. Mm-hmm. North Carolina slots in at number two again. Michigan State moved up to three, followed by Kansas. Texas Tech made a big leap up to number five.
That's right.
Gonzaga is six, Michigan seven. Virginia, Nevada, and North Carolina State round out the top 10.
Look at that. We're on the same page there with NC State.
Huge game tomorrow night against Auburn. Can't wait to watch that one.
You have a note here. Furman has slipped to what in the action index?
Number 84.
With, what is that? They've fallen off a cliff.
I think it was 33 last week, so it was quite the precipitous drop for the Furman Paladins.
That's okay. That's okay. All right, so what spots you eyeing this week in college basketball action?
Well, I think you and I are trying to keep this run rolling, and the first one I picked out was the Virginia Cavaliers traveling to South Carolina tomorrow night, Wednesday. The line came out here just before we jumped on at Virginia -9.5, and I love them in this game. We all know how much their defense plays well, and defense travels. They have the fourth-ranked defense, and they're going to hold down this Gamecocks offense, which ranks 163rd in offensive efficiency. They're going to smother them to death, and they should also generate some turnovers in this contest, and I think that they're going to win by 9.5 and way more.
I agree. One of the things in KenPom, when you look at it, they've always had good defensive efficiency. I got them at 4. But their offensive efficiency is up to 12, and that's obviously the big knock on Tony Bennett's teams in the past. They get this scoring going, I think they could be a dark horse even for the Final Four action.
Absolutely.
All right, the next game we talked about is Auburn is going to NC State. This is a huge game for NC State to kind of prove up our rankings for them. Auburn's a very good team from the SEC. They're playing on Wednesday night on the 19th, but we're looking at the over, total set for 156. Why do you like the over in this game?
Yeah, very similar to my handicap on Saturday night with Gonzaga and UNC. These teams have supremely efficient offenses. They're 14th and 13th ranked, respectively, on offense. And NC State ranks near the top of Division I in tempo. Mm-hmm. And I expect, as they, being the home team, are going to control the pace a little bit and try to get Auburn in a little bit more of an up-tempo game than they're used to. Mm-hmm. And I think that this total can go over easily, 156.
Okay, I like that angle. I do want to see if NC State, they got to prove it to me before I start betting on them, but this is a spot they're actually getting points at home, right? No, they're favored at home?
Yeah, it looked like it opened at a pick'em earlier and then quickly got bet to NC State -2.
Okay, so, I mean, they're obviously favored by a little bit, but Auburn's better in KenPom, so we'll see where they stack out.
I can't wait to watch it, that's for sure.
The next game, Cincinnati is 8-point favorites against UCLA. This is also on Wednesday night. This is going to be played in Cincinnati. What do you like in this one?
Well, it's the Bruins' first true road game on the season, and we're almost into middle of December. So if that tells you a
way to test the troops there.
I'm going to fade UCLA here. They lost Saturday night at home to Belmont. And this Cincinnati team is legit defensively. They're 16th in adjusted D, and I think that they're going to control the tempo in this one and grind down UCLA. They have a supreme offensive advantage on the backboards as well, 10th ranked in offensive rebounding, and 84th UCLA is in defensive rebounding. So I think that Cincinnati, although they don't have a very efficient offense, will be able to get some of their misses and get extra opportunities and cover this 8 points pretty easily.
Yeah, they're going to strangulate the Bruins in this game, so we'll see. I like that angle too. The next game is North Carolina. This is actually a neutral site game against Kentucky here in Chicago on Saturday at the United Center. North Carolina's 6-point favorites. Of course, I know you like North Carolina in this one because they're in your index number 2. Mm-hmm. What I've read about Kentucky or heard about them, they did have a guy transfer out, so there's kind of been a lot of instability or something on this team. But one of the things that could work to their advantage, it might shorten their rotation and get their players in going. I don't think they're going to win this game against North Carolina, but I trust Calipari will get this team going down the stretch. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that point. This one is down the street from the studios here at
That's
the
right.
United Center.
You can walk there.
And I love North Carolina in this spot, the neutral court site. North Carolina tends to play better in these types of situations, and they're coming off that huge win over Gonzaga last weekend, and I think that they're going to have an advantage over Kentucky as well. They're both pretty exceptional at offensive rebounding, but the difference here is on the defensive rebounding numbers, where UNC is ranked 17th and Kentucky is only 69th. I also think that UNC is going to have a huge advantage at the three-point line, where Kentucky allows their opponents to shoot 39%, which is 324th in Division I.
Oof, that's bad.
So that UNC team is going to put up some points, and I think they're going to cover 6 pretty easily.
And conversely, I don't think Kentucky shoots the 3-ball very well right now.
That's right. So. Correct.
All right.
How about you? Anything that you've identified?
Yeah, one of the games I like is, I'm sorry, Paladins, I'm going against you. Furman is going to LSU on Friday night. That's the 21st. To play LSU, LSU is a 7-point favorite at home. Furman's in the top 25. I know they beat Nova early in the year, and they're a sweetheart story. I'm not rooting against them necessarily, but LSU's a pretty solid team. They had Houston on the ropes in that game that eventually Houston came back to cover. I do believe that they're a really good team offensively, LSU. They're 23rd. And I don't think the Paladins are going to be able to keep up with them in this game. Do you see anything else in this one action?
Yeah, one thing to add, you know, I like my offensive rebounding numbers, okay. And LSU is 35th compared to Furman's 105th defensive rebounding rank. So I'm right there with you. I like the Tigers.
All right. Another game we both like is Stanford is going to the University of San Francisco, the Dons, if you knew that. San Francisco is actually favored in the game, at least according to our index. They will be, at least, Saturday on the 22nd. So they're favored by 8, according to our metrics. We'll see if that number is actually going to come true. San Francisco's a really good squad. I mean, they're playing the second-best team in the West Coast Conference. They're 24th in defense in KenPom, where Stanford is 103rd. I really like this team, so I'm going to definitely look to see where this number is to bet the Dons.
Yeah, I love San Francisco, too. I see that you picked them out of here, and in my index, I've got them as the 33rd best team in the country.
Nice.
And they're 8-1, I believe, and playing really great basketball. I think that this one should probably be closer to a 12 or 13-point spread, so anything under 10, I'm going to be laying right there alongside you.
Sounds great. Another one that I'm looking at is Buffalo. Buffalo's playing Syracuse tonight. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's also going to Marquette. They're actually scheduling some tough opponents. They're playing at Marquette on Friday. We're kind of grading that as a 2.5-point favorite for Marquette at home, which really means that they think Buffalo's the better team. But when I look at KenPom, these teams are very close, and I would definitely bet Marquette in this situation if I can see this low line.
Yeah, this Buffalo team, impressive that they're going on the road for these tough matchups, mm-hmm. but they're probably going to run out of steam next weekend, and Marquette is no opponent that you want to play on the second half of a back-to-back like this.
Yeah, they can run you out the gym. So the last game I like is Kansas going to Arizona State. I've talked about Arizona State being overrated. They already got beat down on Monday. Maybe it was a look-ahead spot for them. Kansas, we were figuring, will be approximately a 3-point favorite. But we'll see. It's at Arizona. Arizona beat them last year in Kansas, so that was kind of a big shock. I think that Kansas is going to have basically revenge on their mind on Saturday when they play them. And even without Azubuike, they're going to basically go after this team and take down Arizona State. What do you say?
I'm going to disagree with you on this one. And obviously, we guessed this line at mm-hmm. Kansas -3. And if I see Arizona State come out as an underdog, I may jump on them. I like this Arizona State team. Lugans Dort and Remy Martin have two of the best names in college basketball.
Well, one's a drink.
That's not why I like them, though. they're good rebounders. And as you mentioned, and we talked about last week, Azubuike is likely going to be out for a little bit longer. And that really impedes Kansas's ability to get on the glass. And Arizona State getting back home, I think will get them right. They did just come off of a big win at Georgia. Mm-hmm. over the weekend, so I think it was a little bit of a letdown spot in Vandy, and they're definitely going to be up for this game. Like you mentioned, they did beat Kansas last year, and I think that Coach Hurley is going to have this team ready for Kansas.
All right, let's go into our head-to-head segment. We're going to pick a couple games. Steve is actually still ahead of me, 32-30-2 after the 2-2 split last week. The first game on the slate is actually Thursday. It's going to be a game we'll be able to watch when we have one of our best friends come back from Portland, Whitney. Do a little watch party over there. Duke is 7-point favorites against Texas Tech, playing in Madison Square Garden. So what side are you on this one, action?
Well, I'm going to take the ugly side, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. I love defense, mm-hmm. and I love rebounding. And this game is super intriguing to me. It's going to be a contrast like none other. Duke plays an up-tempo style of basketball, and Texas Tech loves to slow it down. They're 264th in tempo, and it's going to be the number one adjusted offense in Duke versus the number two adjusted defense in Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a great one, and I'll side with the defense.
All right. Well, according to KenPom, Duke is number 5 in defense, so it's not like they're that far off.
Okay.
Texas Tech is number 1, true, but I don't know. I just saw Zion Williamson almost hit his head on the backboard. I don't know if they've got that kind of athleticism on Texas Tech this year. Definitely looking forward to the game, but I got to go with the Dukies. They're a covering machine, and in the bright lights of Madison Square Garden, those young Dukies are going to be flying over the floor.
We're definitely going to be watching at the Free Swingers party.
That's right, at O'Donovan's right there. All right. The next game we've kind of alluded to. The Bears are going to San Francisco. San Francisco is, they've won two straight. They're playing better. The Bears are 4-point favorites currently, the way we've seen it. The total is 42.5. I got to go with the Bears. I mean, they're my number one team in the index, man. I can't keep riding this hot streak. The only game they haven't covered lately was the Giants game. So I'm going to stick with the Bears. I think that San Francisco has had a little bit of, it's not hockey, but puck luck. They've had a couple of wins. There was turnovers, and I think Mullins is playing good for them, but I think that it's a different animal playing the Bears. The defense doesn't travel as well for the Bears, but I see a couple of turnovers they're going to doom in San Francisco, and they'll get me that 4-point victory.
Okay, I'm not surprised. Well, I'm going to be on San Francisco here, as you know. I've been on them 2 weeks in a row, and I'd like to make it three.
All right.
This team is just a covering machine in December, whether it's Jimmy G last year or the high-flying Nick Mullins this year. They've been putting up tons of yards, and quietly, this defense has been playing really well. Mm-hmm. Just 2 weeks ago, they shut down that Broncos prolific rushing attack, and I think that they're going to set up quite nicely to do the same against Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard this weekend, putting the ball in the hands of Trubisky. And I've been watching Trubisky, and he was pretty rusty against the Rams, although I will admit he played better this weekend against the Pack.
He did.
I still like that angle where San Francisco is going to try and control the clock. I also like the under in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Same handicap that we've had earlier. I think there's going to be a lot of running and ground and pound, and I like it to go under the 42.5, but I also think that San Francisco can cover this 4 points.
All right. We'll see what happens. Shanahan has been coaching his butt off out there, so the next game we want to pick is the Steelers at the Saints. This is a big game for the Steelers, well, and the Saints for that matter. The Saints are 5.5-point favorites. The total is 53.5. In this game, the Steelers basically have to win to keep the Ravens at bay, and the Saints have to win because obviously they want to keep the number one seed in the NFC. What side do you like on this one?
I'm going to take the road Steelers here. I think that they're going to have some supreme motivation over New Orleans. I know that New Orleans is still playing for something too.
Right.
But this Pittsburgh team, when they seem to be motivated, just get to a whole nother level. And Jalen Samuels proved it last weekend that he can run the ball too.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs Le'Veon Bell or James Conner? But Roethlisberger is going to come out and play well, and I think the Steelers' defense has been quietly improving too. And as we mentioned earlier, New Orleans has been a little bit humdrum the past couple of weeks. They're not been as quite as prolific as they were earlier in the season, and I think that the Steelers can keep this thing with inside the number.
Okay. Well, it was a unique schedule spot for the Saints where they were on the road for three straight weeks. You know, they played the Dallas, and then they went to Tampa, and then they went to Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually went 7-1 straight up on the road this year, which is incredible for the Saints. They're coming home. Those fans are going to be greeting their team like the conquering heroes when they come back. And the Steelers, as much as they played really well against New England, I don't think they're going to be ready for both the Saints' defense, that crowd noise. And to be honest with you, I think this is the game where they're going to explode offensively. So 5.5, I'll give you those points, and I think they're going to take them down. Last game we're going to look at is the Texans at Philly. Philadelphia is coming off this huge win where they beat the Rams kind of shockingly, shocking the world, and you know, going to L.A. and beating them. The Texans basically keep winning, churning out wins, last-second wins. But Philly's favored in this game by 2 points. I think if you would have saw this line a week ago, it probably would have been the Texans by 3 points. So I'm jumping on the Texans, getting those 2 points. I do believe they're the better team. They're higher in my index. Maybe Nick Foles has some more magic and that front line of Philly keeps playing well, but I can't see it. I think the Texans are at least going to win this game, and I'll take the points gladly.
Well, you make a really good point. The Texans, according to this line move, should have some serious value because the look ahead, as you mentioned, was probably going to be Texans -3.
Mm-hmm.
And after that big win by Philadelphia, that's flipped. And Nick Foles looked like his old self on Sunday.
He did.
And that's part of my handicap here. But the bigger part to me really is just this Houston Texans team being overvalued all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started 0-3 and then rattled off 9 straight games really to kind of a lucky end. They won a bunch of coin flips, and Indianapolis went in there a couple of weeks ago and just really stopped them cold. Mm-hmm. And I think that this Philadelphia team is set up to do the same that Indianapolis did. The defensive line for the Eagles played really well on Sunday night, and I think that they're going to be able to get after Deshaun Watson. And then this Eagles running game really picked up on Sunday night. Adams was running well, mm-hmm. and I like them to win this game outright.
Okay. Yeah, I think the other thing is we didn't mention Philly does have an outside shot at the playoffs.
It's true.
At 7-7, they still have motivation. This is a huge game, so they can still make it. So it's important that they win this game. So, you know, it'll be for all the marbles. It'll be a great game.
538 has Philadelphia a 39% chance to make the playoffs.
All right.
So more than an outside shot.
That's better than Indy somehow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just a little announcement. We are going to tape next week. We're going to do our Bowl Bonanza show on Friday the 28th. So look for that before you make your final selections and bets over the weekend of that weekend. Obviously, have a happy holidays. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas or Happy Kwanzaa or whatever. We'll be back right after the holiday, and we're not going to lose any steam on this.
No, there's a ton of huge college football games. Obviously, the New Year's Six bowl games. Mm-hmm. We'll probably touch on the semifinal games as well.
That's right.
And don't forget, we're going to have NFL picks in week 17 also.
That's right.
There's usually lots of value that last week, so Wags and I will be spotting it for you.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening and rating the podcast and telling all your friends and liking our posts on Instagram and social media. Thank you very much. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter. You can also follow the pod at Side Action Pod.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. So have a great holiday.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.